Morning. Today's daf in Brachos is Mem Zayin. We're in the seventh parak of Brachos, and benching has been the topic. The Gemara yesterday's daf dealt with a number of issues. We talked yesterday about who should be making the Brachos Amotzi, who should be leading in the Zimun. Zimun ends where? Benching begins where? That's Ad Heichan Brachos Zimun, a big topic of yesterday. Hatov Ameitiv, the fourth bracha of benching, is that a bracha d'oraisa or a bracha d'rabbanan? The first three brachas of benching are daraisa. That's the benching is a mitzvah daraisa already established back on Daf Chaf in Brachos Chaf Amud Beis. But in terms of the bracha of Atov Ameitiv, is that also a bracha daraisa? The Gemara had an opinion that says it is, but the consensus of the Gemara that it's not. The Gemara yesterday brought three proofs that Atov Ameitiv is not daraisa, but rather it was a tack on. It was an addendum added to the benching. That was at a later point in time historically. We will go over the history, not today, not in today's daf. We'll touch on it tomorrow. Okay? Really, two days from now. Okay. And then the last topic we discussed yesterday was side-by-side comparison of Chachmei Yisrael and the Parsiim. The Persians had certain minhagim in terms of they ate. We had similar minhagim, but there were subtle differences between them, subtle but significant, and the Gemara went over the differences that we had with them in terms of seat configuration, how everyone sat at the table, in terms of Mayim Rishonim, Mayim Achronim. I mentioned yesterday, it's a little bit strange to talk about the Parsiim and Mayim Rishonim, Mayim Achronim. Mayim Achronim, I understand, can be viewed as hygienic. What's Mayim Rishonim? I guess it could also be viewed as hygienic. But anyway, that's what we discussed yesterday, Tanu Rabbanan. When the very bottom of Mem Vav Amud Beis at that last line, in Mechabdin lo b'derechim v'lo b'gsharim v'lo b'yadayim mezuamos. So the Bryce over here says that when you are on the road, so there's no requirement of kibud. And also, as you're crossing a bridge, there is no requirement of kibud. And the same thing is true with the Yadai Mezuamos. Yadai Mezuamos, Rashi explains as Natilas Mayim Achronim, what we call Mayim Achronim. So there's no need to give cover in those circumstances. What's the common denominator of these three circumstances? So basically, in other words, you're in a position where you got to get somewhere, or you're traveling, or you're just your hands are dirty. In other words, these are things which are more utilitarian in nature, and so therefore there is no aspect of kibud. Tosfos on the bottom of the previous amud, ein mechabdim. So the Gemara in Shabbos seems to go against what we just said in the Gemara over here. And Tosfos writes on the very bottom, last two lines, kishiyatz al derech ke'echad mechabdim bedrachim. So Tosfos says that if you're basically on some sort of convoy. And you were going out in that order by design. So then you should give honor. Then you shouldn't cut off your Rebbe as you're driving. In general, I would say you shouldn't cut off your Rebbe, but in these circumstances, for sure no. But Tosu says that if everybody's just driving on their own, everyone's got their own destination to go to. So then there's no absolute requirement that you have to honor somebody as you're traveling. That's Tosfos's yishuv between the Gemara here and the Gemara that he quotes from Shabbos. Anyway, let's continue in the Gemara as we are on the very top of Mem Zayinim et Al, first line. Ravin v'Abaye v'Kazle v'Orchei. So Ravin and Abaye were traveling, and Kadmi Chamri d'Ravin l'Abaye. And Ravin cut off Abaye. You know, they were both riding donkeys. And so Ravin cut off Abaye. And he didn't just simply give allowance and say, please, you first. So, Amar midasalakam rabban mi marava gasle daite. And so Abaye said, look, I'm gonna be honest, I'm going to be a little bit critical as well. Ever since you went to Eretz Yisrael, so you got a little bit more arrogant. This is what Abaye says to Ravin. Now, Ravin, we know, went back and forth between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, right? Day after day in the Daf Yomi, we see Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael and reports what he heard from Rav Yochanan. So over here, so Abaye says, you know, I think you got a little bit arrogant when you went to Eretz Yisrael. So Kimatel Pischa de Bekinishta. Now, finally, they both got to their destination. Happened to be they got to the same destination. How awkward! And now Abaye and Ravin are there at the entrance, and Ravin says to Abaye, "No, you please." So Amarle Neomar, and that's what Ravin says to Abaye. So Amarle Van Hashal Marano. He says, "I'm going to remind you. Remember, you cut me off a little bit earlier today, and now you're letting me walk in." So Amalei, Hachem Rav Yochanan. So Ravin's going to say, well, this is what Rav Yochanan taught me. And of course, that's what he's going to say. Because again, he always quotes Rav Yochanan. So he says, this is what I learned from Rav Yochanan. In Mechabdin, Ela B'Pesach, Sheyesh B'Mezuzah. So he says, when do you give kavod? Kavod is required when you're at the entrance of a house that has a door that has a mezuzah. Now the Gemara for a moment just takes this statement really literally. So diyisbe mezuzah in, diyisbe mezuzah lo. Oh, in other words, the only entrance where you have to give kavod and allow the other person to walk in first is when literally there is a mezuzah on that door. So the Gemara says, Elamiata, base knesses, a base medrash, delays bay mezuzah. There is no requirement of a mezuzah on a shul and on a base medrash. They are not batechem, they're not your homes, they're not domiciles. So they're places of congregation, but you don't live there. So there's no requirement of mezuzah. I challenge you to find me a shul or a base medrash that does not have a mezuzah. But me'ikar din, according to the strict letter of the law, there is no requirement for a mezuzah. So anyway, so you mean to tell me under those circumstances there's no requirement of kavod? So hachinami de mechavdin. So the Gemara realizes that don't take the line so literally. Ela ema bepesacha roi la mezuzah. It just simply is an entrance that is fit for a mezuzah. Meaning it's a building. It's a building that we're walking into. Whether it has or does not have a mezuzah is not really the relevant point. It's just simply that we are walking into a building together. The building could be a base measures, could be a base of kinesis. There doesn't have to be a mezuzah over there. The point is that once you're walking in, there is simply no requirement. At that point, there is a requirement that you have to give kavod to somebody else. But on the road, so there is no requirement for kavod. And if you want to cut off your Rebbe, I know it's a funny sentence, but if you want to cut off your Rebbe, by all means, you can cut off your Rebbe. So, yeah. He didn't see the distinction. No, as far as the mezuzah was concerned, Rav Yochanan didn't mean it literally. Right? I know Rav Yochanan.
I understand, but I'm saying, but it said that the story started with going into a shul.
No, the story started on the road.
What's a Beit Knesset?
Beit Knesset is a shul.
Yeah, so that's it started. So they said, go ahead. And now later on, you know, does it mean only when it has a mezuzah, but it didn't have a mezuzah?
Right. Well, the Rav Yochanan statement was it has to have a mezuzah. And the correction is Rav Yochanan didn't mean that literally. Okay, I'm Rav Yehuda Breid Rav Shmuel Bar Shila Mishmei Derav. The Gemara quotes another halacha named Rav. Ein Masum Rishayim Lachol Klum Achi Yitoma Botzeya. Okay, so you find this every time you got a suit on Shabbos that what happens is that the Baal HaBayis is going to be making the Birchas Hamotzi. Everyone's going to listen. Everyone's going to say Amen. And now it's time to apportion and give out challah to everybody. So the halacha of our Gemara today is the Botzeya, the one who made the bracha. So he needs to eat it first. And you can't eat a piece of bread until the Botzeya eats first. That is the halacha said over in Rav. Now, before we discuss this in any more detail, so the Gemara over here just has a really subtle correction. Yasir Rav Safra Vekamar, litom itmar. You're not saying the halacha right. You said ad shiitom. It should be litom. Now, lamai nafkamina, now even the Gemara admits itself, well, it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference whether you say ad shiitom or litom. So Shechayv Adam Lomar B'Loshon Rabu. The Gemara just says over here, look, I heard Rav say it, you heard Rav say it, we got to be more careful about saying it in the exact manner that Rav said it. And so therefore, Chayv Adam, a person's obligated to say it B'Loshon Rabu. So your Rebbe says it a certain way, so you should say it in the same manner that he says it as well. Right? Many of my mispronunciations I can attribute to my Rebbeim. And then again, many of them I just attribute to me. So it's not really fair that, you know, I can't blame my Rebbeim on all my mispronunciations. But, in other words, I hear it a certain way, so they say it a certain way as well. So anyway, good. So that is the halacha said over as reported in the name of Rav. Now, the exciting part over here is Tosfos. Tosfos is on the top of the Amud. So he says, remember the Gemara Pesachim? It is a great Gemara. The Gemara Pesachim, so somebody was asked to say Kiddush Rabbah, right? The big Kiddush, meaning the big Kiddush, right? It's a euphemism, right? The big Kiddush is Friday night. So the Kiddush Rabbah is the Kiddush that we say on Shabbos morning. So Shabbos morning, before having your Suda Shnia, your second meal, so you have to make a Kiddush. Now, the Gemara over there in Pesachim relates that somebody was asked to make Kiddush. He didn't know what was going on. I don't even know what you're talking about. Kiddush? What's Kiddush on Shabbos day? Kiddush on Friday night, okay, there's a whole Nusach, Vayichulu, and then there's a Bracha Sayayin, and then there's a Bracha Kiddush, good. What, I don't even know what he's talking about. Kiddush Shabbos morning? Fine. So what he does is, it's just such a great scene. So what he does is he holds a cup in his hand. So he starts off with a bar priya guffin, because that's how you always start off Kiddush. I understand, Friday night, Vayachulu, that's an added paragraph. I don't even know when it was added. It's not in the Gemara, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, so he starts off, Berchat Hashem Elkeinu Melech Haolam, bar priya guffin. Okay. And now he's looking around the room to see, like, what are people going to do? Like, is there more I'm supposed to say right now? And he sees an elderly person over there in the room who's taking his cup, and he starts drinking his cup, signifying that Kiddush now has come to a conclusion. Good. And so now he also drank from this cup, right? This Amora who was asked to make Kiddush. Okay, good. And so therefore, he bluffed his way through Kiddush, and he realized that Kiddush on Shabbos day is only Bar Pri HaGafen. I know we have the minhag nowadays that we say paragraphs beforehand, but that's not, in other words, Kiddush is just simply Bar Pri HaGafen. Okay? That's the Kiddusha Rabbah of Shabbos morning. In that story, what do you see clearly? That the Mekadish himself was not the first one who drank. Somebody else drank wine before he did. So over there, you don't see the same thing that you're seeing over here. Over here, the Gemara says explicitly that somebody needs, that the Mevarich himself has to eat before anyone else has the right to do so. And the story over there told them, Psachim, somebody drank wine before he did, before the Mekadish. So Tosu says, how do you balance these two? Gemara's Tosus starts off with a couple of answers. You can see the Tosus on top of the Amud. I'm reading the Tosus. V'teima me'ahu saba davri psachim degachim v'shasi amma deshasi konim amevarech. So the story over there, the Tosus relates the story really quickly. But the story over there is that somebody else drank from Kiddush before the Mevarech himself did. So Tosus first starts off by saying, well, that's drinking, this is eating, maybe that's different. Tosus doesn't elaborate. How is that different? Really unclear. But that's one suggestion. Or maybe over there, that Gemara is supposed to be understood contextually. Meaning, over there, the only reason why the elder drank from his cup of wine is because he knew the Mavarich was clueless. So over there, just to inform the Mavarich that Kiddush now has come to an end, so for that reason he drank from the wine, but under normal circumstances he wouldn't. Okay, that's another possibility. But then Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi, which is the most exciting possibility. So then the Yerushalmi introduces this idea as follows, which is that I have a loaf of bread in front of me, you have a loaf of bread in front of me, everybody has a loaf of bread in front of them. Now it's interesting, according to the Yerushalmi on Shabbos, is it one loaf or is it two loaves? Meaning, does everyone need lechem mishnah, or is it just for this one, just one loaf would be enough as well? I'm not sure, but anyway, but let's get to the basic point of the Yerushalmi. Or let's say by Kiddush, everybody has a cup in front of them. When I make Kiddush and everyone else is listening, so my Kiddush is not only a Kiddush on my cup, my Kiddush is a Kiddush on everybody else's cup as well. It's ke'ilu, it's as if you make Kiddush on your cup. And so therefore, if you make Kiddush on your cup, you can for sure drink it right away, irrespective of when I drink from my cup. And so Tosu says, quoting the Yerushalmi, so that now is a very easy explanation. So if everybody has their own cup and everyone has their own role, so then my Kiddush, my motzi, is like you made Kiddush and like you made motzi on your roll. And so therefore you can eat it right away. You don't have to wait to me. Masha Inkin, our Gemara over here, is based on the fact that there's only one loaf of bread and I'm making a motzi on my loaf of bread. So right now, I have to be the first one eating it because I'm the only one who made motzi. Obviously, everyone was yotze with my motzi, but in other words, but the bracha is only going on this loaf of bread and therefore I must eat from it first. That's the Yerushalmi in terms of making a distinction between the Gemara here and the Gemara Pesachim. And the Gemara Pesachim, by the way, so it's pretty clear from that case that that Saba, that elderly person, he had his own cup. Very good. So now he's totally entitled to drink from it before the Mavarach himself drank from it. Tosfos goes on. There's more in that Tosfos. I cover the highlights. We're going to go back to the Gemara. We're going on in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Shnai mamtimen zela ze bekara. Shlosha ein mamtinen. We're back to almost like Hilchos Derech Eretz. Okay, you're sharing a bowl. So two people sharing a bowl together. In other words, back then it was some sort of serving platter. The food was in the serving platter, and two people are eating from it. So they should be respectful of one another, right? Shnai mamtinim zelaze. They wait for one another. Meaning, I'm not taking till you're taking, and we're going to be taking equal portions. And basically, the understanding is that when two are sharing a bowl, so we're going to be eating equal amounts. So we have to be considerate of one another. However, shlosh ein mamtinim, but when it's three people, there's no need to wait. So you can help yourself, you don't have to wait to others. It's understood to be more of a communal bowl than it is a bowl for you and me. Habotzeu posha yado tchila, v'im balachlo kava l'rabba o l'misha gagol heimen rishos biyado. The one who made hamotzi, so he is the one who reaches first into the communal bowl if he wants to give honor to his Rebbe, or to someone greater than him, he has certainly the right to do so. The Gemara tells a story. Rava bar Barchana, hava asik lelebre, bei Rav Shmuel, bar Rav Ketina. So Rava bar Barchana was making a chasna for his son. Kadim biyasif kamasni le lebre. And now, his son now is basically new to this whole halacha. I understand we're talking about a chasna, we're talking about a wedding, it's not a bar mitzvah. But still, Rashi says it, right? Rashi says, Rabbi Bechana, Leishev al Shulchan, Velishnos Livno Hilchos to Uda, Lefisha Chasin, Ragal Livto, Avayam Alam, Dohech Yasa. Right? In other words, it was a minhag that the Chasin himself would be making the Berchas HaMotzi, and so it's this, you know, first time that he's being Motzi other people, and so he's basically educating his son at the Chasin, here's what you do. So, Vekamasin Lelebre, and he teaches the following to his son, Ein Abosera Shalivso Aishe Chala Amen Mipiaonim. So look, you're going to make motzi for everyone, okay? Then I'm sure you got covered. Okay? Hopefully the education you got so far allows you to say motzi. But now, let me teach you another halacha, and that is, wait for everybody to say amen. And only at that point in time, the bracha is finished. A really exciting Rashi over here. Rashi says, Ay shechala amen mipi ha'onim. Rashi writes, amen acher brachas ha'motzi. Da'af anias amen min ha'brachahi. So basically, Rashi writes that, we're going to take amen and look at it as if it's part of the nusach habracha. So in other words, before the amen is said, the bracha hasn't really come to a conclusion. And obviously you can't eat before the bracha is concluded. Now that we're saying amen is part and parcel of the bracha, so then obviously you have to wait for everyone to finish and say amen before now you yourself can eat from the bread. Rav Chista amar mipi rov ha'onim. Now Rav Chista, just a small modification, and that is you don't have to wait for everybody to say amen. You have to wait for most people to say amen. What does that mean? Gemara explains. So the Gemara asks point blank, what does that mean? If the majority has said amen, but there's still some people who haven't said amen, the bracha isn't finished yet, right? What's the difference? So he says, no, the people who prolong amen, so they don't know what they're doing. They're making a mistake, a terrible mistake. And so for them, their amen doesn't qualify as an amen. They're just, you know, they're making a show of themselves, and they're saying amen really long. So aside from the fact that they're the center of attention, they want to be the center of attention, but that's not even the point. The point is that amen doesn't qualify as amen, and so therefore, their amens, you don't have to regard. And you can eat the bread as long as most people finish amen, because by most people, we now mean that that's a normative amen. The ones who prolong it, it's not normal. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes a braisa. Ein omim lo amen chatufa v'lo amen ketufa v'lo amen yisama v'lo yizrok bracha mipiv. So the Braisa rattles off four halachas, the first three having to do with amen. Got to be careful about how you say the word amen. So we're going to go through each one individually. Let's start off with chatufa. What does that chatufa mean? That your nekudas have to be the right nekudas. Rashi writes over here, shekorin is ha'alef v'chatef v'lo bepatach. So he said the amen with a chatef over here. Rashi has an unusual way of describing nekudos. It's not our way of describing it. It's a little curious why Rashi calls it that way. When Rashi says a patach, he means a kamatz. And you can see that on the side of the Gemara. Meaning the amen is with a kamatz. So it's amen. And not with a patach would be amen. So that's incorrect. So it has to be right with the right nekudos. That's the first Rashi. A ketufa, right? Rashi, it's funny that Rashi, I'll just stay on that Rashi for just one more moment. Va'omer amen, v'hutzarech lomar amen. He said amen, he's supposed to say amen. So obviously this Rashi needs nekudos. Without nekudos, like, what's the difference? But obviously, what Rashi means by that is you have to say with the right nekudos, a kamatz, not a patach. Okay, next Rashi. It can't be ketufa. Rashi writes, shemachzar kriyas anon, sheina motziya bepeh, shetei nikeres. So amen with a nun. You don't have to articulate every one of the letters. And then finally, the yisoma. So Rashi over here, really interesting Rashi. Rashi writes, yisoma shalosha ma'bracha. So you walk into a room, you have no idea what the bracha is, but everyone's saying amen, so you're jumping right in there. Amen. Your amen is an orphaned amen, because it's not attached to a bracha, you didn't hear the bracha. Then Rashi classically asks the following question. And by the way, Tosfos also goes through the same discussion right here on our daf. And Rashi says, the fifth parak of Sukkah, Shabbalach San Jerusha Mitzrayim, Hayu Menafim Besudarim, Kishige Eslanos Amen. So over there in the shul in Alexandria, the Gemara there in Sukkah spends a lot of time describing that shul. Beautiful edifice. Huge. Seating was divided by profession. so that you get to sleep with your landsmen, with your people who are in the same profession. Okay, so it was a place of worship. It was a place of networking. Okay, it was beautiful. That's how the Gemara describes it over there. So, but anyway, it was so large that the Shliach Tzibur said a bracha, nobody heard him. The place was huge. Okay, and so what do? So they have the following system. So that when the Shliach Tzibur made a bracha, so then they would wave flags. And that would indicate to everybody, okay, it's now time to say Amen. And everyone said Amen. And now Rashi's bothered, isn't that Naman Yisoma, as we're describing right here in our Gemara? Amalo Shmieva Ka'ani Hanu. So Rashi answers like this. Meida Yadesh Em Onim Acha Bracha, Val Eza Bracha Em Onim. So Rashi says, even though they can't hear, they know what they're answering Amen to. Meaning, when you're in Shul, you basically have an idea of what the Shliach Tzibur is up to. So he just wasn't audible. You didn't hear it, but you know what's being said. Rashi says that doesn't qualify as an Amen Yisoma. Amen Yisoma is when you literally have no idea. You didn't hear, and you have no idea what the Shliach Tzibur said. That's an Amen Yisoma. But the Gemara in Sukkah over there, describing the Shul of Alexandria, you know exactly what was said. You just didn't hear it. That's not Amen Yisoma. That would be perfectly fine. Good. That's Rashi, by the way, Tosus over here. A Divrei Maskal Amen Yisoma makes exactly the same point. It's as if Tosus didn't see Rashi. But okay. Anyway.
So if you say Amen when it's too late,
okay, cool, yeah. I'm working with Rashi. The and lo yizog bracha mipiv, right? The fourth halacha, Rashi. So that means to say b'mihirus shadam alav kemasa el eschok. I'm sorry, el eschok kavu hulo. So the if you spit the bracha out and you say it super quickly, so it looks like a burn upon you, and that is the zrika bracha mipiv, and that also is no good. Benazi Omer, back to the Gemara. Benazi Omer Kolaona Amen Yisoma Yiyu Banav Yisomim. Now the Gemara over here is going to be speaking in very harsh terms about the ramifications, the repercussions of not being careful in answering Amen. So if you say an Amen Yisoma, so it's a play on words. So if you say an Amen Yisoma, so Banav Yisoma, your children are going to be orphans, right? You can figure out what that means. Chatufa Yichatfenu Yamav. So if it's a shortened, right, a snatched Amen, Rashi explained, you didn't articulate every letter of the Amen, so your days are going to be snatched. And Ketufa, Yitkufu Yamav. And it's a Amen Ketufa, and again, going back to Rashi, I'm sorry, Chatufa is you didn't pronounce it with the proper Nakuda, sorry. And Ketufa is where you didn't articulate every letter, so Yitkufu Yamav, which again is the same idea that you're going to lose years of your life. And if you extend your Amen, so your life, years are going to be extended. Extending of the Amen, Tosus warns us, not too much. Tosus says, right? In other words, don't totally exaggerate the Amen, because then it no longer forms the word. So the over here, just lengthening it just simply means being very deliberate about how you pronounce it. But Tosus says, be careful not to really exaggerate the letters. Rav Shmuel have Yasri v'Sudasa. The Gemara continues. Rav Shmuel were at a meal. Also, Rav Shimi Bar Chiya have a Kamisare v'Achel. And Rav Shimi Bar Chiya joins them. And what does he do? He just throws a couple of pieces of food into his mouth. Now, a little context over here. What was his intention? His intention was that they make a zima together, meaning they're only right now two people together. And as we learned in the first daf of this perek, two people cannot make a zimun, not as a chiyuv, not even as a rishos. And so therefore, three people have to eat together. That's the first thing we learned in our perek. Shlosha she'achlu ka'achas. So mizam chayav mizami. So over here, he thought like this. The two of them, meaning the two that were already sitting, so they're eating, but the truth of the matter is that they're pretty much done eating. And so along comes now Rav Shimi Bar Chiya, and what does he do? He says, hey, I'm joining you. And even though they're at the end of their meal, so he sits down with them and he throws some food into his mouth. So Amalei Rav Maidatach, let's do it for Bahadan. So he says, what is he trying to do? He's trying to join us for a meal. Anan Achilnalan. So he says, we're finished eating. So he can't join us, meaning not for a Zeman. I mean, he could sit with us, that's fine. But he can't join us for a Zeman because we're done eating. Amalei Shmuel. So Shmuel says the following to Rav. By the way, this is a historic sitting, by the way. We have Rav and Shmuel sitting together. Right? Rav was in Surah, Shmuel was in Narda. How often did they get together? I can only guess. I really don't know. But in other words, but fine. So you have the seating of these two people. So anyway, So Shmuel says to Rav, Amarle ilu maisu li ardilai viguzlai la'aba milo achlinan. So Shmuel says, look, if they gave us foods that you and I like, Rashi says over here, as far as what Shmuel likes, as far as what Rav likes, Rashi says Shmuel chavivin alav ardilai bikinuch zuda vehin kameim pitrios. So as far as Shmuel's favorite foods, so mushrooms at the end of a meal. And Rav goes los. So he liked a little bit of chicken meat at the end of a meal. Okay. Ushmuel haya kori l'Rav Abba l'chavdo. And by the way, Rashi points out that when Shmuel describes Rav, he calls him Abba l'chavdo. Right? I'm always confused because I think it is confusing in terms of was Rav's name actually Abba? So you'll get impressions from other Gemaras that it is. Right? Abba Richta. So, and Rashi over here doesn't seem that way. Rashi over here says that the only reason why you refer to him as Abba is only as a term of kavod, right? Abba meaning basically like you're like my father, but, right? To the point of the Gemara, so he says like this, you didn't really finish eating, meaning you stopped the act of eating, but if there's more fruit presented in front of you, would you continue eating? And Rav acknowledges, yeah, you're right. So, and what Shmuel's point was, is that as long as the meal could continue, so we are now still in the act of eating, even though we're not actually eating, and therefore, if somebody wants to join us at this point in time, so then they can combine with us to make a zimun. Tosus writes over here, I think that's the halacha. Mashma, Tosus writes, Tosus divra maskal ilu. Mashma dechein halacha, de rav nami lo palik. Rav didn't argue, he didn't rebut. Aval iamar havlam v'nivrech she'esichu daitam lechol, ein shlishim etzdarifim ahem. However, if let's say, and as we learned the other day, it has to be the Baal Bais. Let's say the Baal Bais says, okay, now it's time to eat. At that point in time, the meal has officially come to an end. Anyone who comes after that point in time cannot participate in the Zimun. But anyone who comes at any point during the meal, even when the meal has seemingly come to an end, but nobody has pronounced the end of the meal, so then he can combine towards the Zimun. That's the Gemara. That's Tosus over here. We're going to continue in the Gemara. Al-Tamidah Rav Avyasu B'su Dasa. The students of Rav were sitting at a meal. Al Rav Acha Amre Hasa Gavra Rava Demavarchlan. So he says, okay, here comes a great man, and let him bench on our behalf. Amru Misvirsa Degalda Mevarch Iker. I'm sorry, Degalda Mevarch Iker Shebesu Demavarch. He says, no, I don't think you're right. I don't think it's the Gadol should be Mevarch. It's the Iker Shebesuuda, the main person of the Seuda. So what does that mean? The main person of the Seuda. Rashi describes him as being Echad Meosan Shayu Betchila. Ha'aseba, meaning the main person who was there during the meal. Now, it happens to be that a great person came afterwards, okay, but he wasn't there during the main portion of the meal. And the Gemara says right, very quickly and puts an end to this discussion really succinctly, the Gadol's Mevarach. Even if that person comes at the end, still he should be the one making the bracha. Okay, after an assortment of halachas regarding Birchas HaMazon, we are now going to go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah then basically did the following contrast. If you're eating foods that are mostly kosher, I know that's a funny term, but you'll see what I mean. If you're eating foods that are mostly kosher, so then you can make a zimun with that person. If, however, the food that person is eating is not kosher, so therefore you cannot make a zimun with that individual. I mentioned at the Mishnah, is the Mishnah just referring to Zimun? Is the Mishnah talking about brachas in general? You can't make a bracha on kosher food. Machlokas harishonim, Rama, Ravid. Okay, we spoke about it briefly in the Mishnah. Anyway, that is what the Mishnah said. So what, pray tell, is this term of mostly kosher? Right? As long as the food is basically kosher. So the Mishnah gave a number of examples, and what we're going to do now is we're going to work our way through the Gemara, as the Gemara is going to highlight exactly what these foods are. So let's start off achol demai. So halochazilei. So the Gemara says, demai, you're not allowed to eat demai. And as we've gone over time and again throughout Shas, demai is when I buy produce from an Am Haaretz. Did he take off Trumas HaMaisos? The answer is most probably yes. Rov Ame Haaretz take off Trumas HaMaisos. However, as a stringency imposed by the Chachamim, when you buy from an Am Haaretz, you have to take off Trumas HaMaisos again. So you're not allowed to eat demai until you take off Trumas HaMaisos. And now somebody comes in with his lunch, which is made up of demai. And the Mishnah says he can combine towards your Zimun. And the Gemara now asks the obvious question, but you didn't take off Trumas HaMaisos, and you were supposed to. So So the Gemara says, well, you know that because of the requirement of Demai is a Chumra Midurabanan, so built into the Chumra, the rabbis gave a number of leniencies. Notably, that a poor person is allowed to eat tamai without being mafresh trumas or maisos. And in theory, you can disavow yourself of all your material possession. You can become poor, and so therefore you can eat the tamai. So the tamai is not objectively aser. It's subjective based on your financial status, and it's at least in theory possible that you can eat it. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Machilas Aniyim Demai, you're allowed to feed to the Aniyim the Demai, Vesach Sanya Demai. Rashi over here says that basically you have an army going through town. The governmental requirement is that you have to feed the army, and so they're staying at your house and you're feeding them. So once again, as a dispensation, the rabbis allowed you to serve the members of the army Demai. And Amrav Huna, Tana Beishamay, Armim, Ein Machilas Aniyim, Vesach Sanya Demai. Now Beishamay argues on that, and Tosfos says, why is that important information? So Tosfos says, because if you ever see a braisa that says that you can't feed an ani demai, you can't feed it to the soldiers, you know it's Beis Shammai. Okay. Maisa Rishon Shenat L'Trumaso Pshita. Now, the next thing the Mishnah lists is Maisa Rishon, where the Levi took off his Trumas Maisa, which is exactly what he's supposed to do. That's not kind of kosher. That's now 100% kosher. Why would the Mishnah have to give such an example? Lo Tzricha Ela Sheikdimu B'Shibalim. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it is questionable. It's questionable because here's what happened. The Levi went out to the field. The produce has not yet been put into a pile. And so now what the Levi did is he helped himself to his Meiser. Okay, now I know it's strange, by the way, because it's a Matana, he should be receiving it. I understand that. But still, the point the Gemara wants to make over here is as follows. Now when he takes his Meiser first, so first of all, he went out of order. Meaning the correct order of Afrasha is first Truma Gedola, then Maaser Rishon, then Maaser Sheni, or depending on the year, Maaser Sheni and Maaser Ani. And then the Levi from his Maaser Rishon has to take off Truma's Maaser. And it has to be specifically in that order. There is a Seder. And he went out of order. Okay, he's out of turn. Okay, that part's clear. But here comes the Chiddush. Now when he takes off his Maaser Rishon first, so that means now that obviously he has to take off Truma's Maaser, that part's clear, but also there is Truma Gedola of his 10% that has not yet been given to a Kohen. And so, does he have to take off Truma Gedola? And interestingly, the answer is, no, he doesn't. He doesn't have to take off Truma Gedola. So, to which now the Gemara says, now that's a Chiddush. Now, we'll see why in just a moment. It's going to be a Drasha, but we're going to see why in just a moment. Now, that's a Chiddush. So, here he took off his Maaser Rishon, A, out of order, B, he didn't take off Truma Gedola to give to the Kohen, and now you understand, it's questionable. But as we're going to learn together, it's kosher. In other words, the Levi is allowed to eat it, provided that he took off his Trumas Maaser. And so that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. Uched Rabbi Abba. Now the Gemara gives us the background to this halacha. Da'am Rabbi Abba, Amar Yitzchakish Maaser Rishon, Shekhtimah B'Shibalim, Pater Mitruma Gedola. If the Levi took off from the Shibalim, not that the Gemara is condoning it, but the Gemara is saying, but if that were to happen, the Levi doesn't have to take off Trumas Gedola. Shenema Veri Mosim Yimene Trumas Hashem. Maaser Mina Maaser. The pasuk says that regarding the Levi and his requirement to take off Trumas Maaser from his Maaser Rishon, the Torah says very clearly, Maaser Mina Maaser, 10% of his 10%. And the Gemara darshins, Maaser Mina Maaser, Amatulach Velo Trumas Gedola V'Trumas Maaser Mina Maaser, that's the only thing that Levi has to take off. Now, of course, most of the time there's nothing else to take off. But let's envision a scenario in which he has to take off both Trumas Maaser and Truma Gedola. In what case would that be? The one we are currently describing, where he went out into the field and he took his Maaser Rishon first. So there now he has, in theory, two hafrashes to take off. The pasuk is telling us, no. He only has to take off Trumas Maaser and not Truma Gedola. So Amar Le'ra Papala Ba'yach Yafilik Dima Bikri Nami. So he says, what an interesting halacha. What if, let's say, the grain was by the Bala Bais? It was put into a pile and the pile was smoothed on the top. Otherwise known as the Gemar Malacha. That's the Miruach HaKri, the smoothing off of the top. And the reason why that's so significant, by the way, is because now you know how much grain is there. When you smooth off the top, you're basically now measuring it off. And so now you know how much is there. And now there's a Chiyuv of Trumas Maaseros. Now, under those circumstances, now there's a Chiyuv of Truma Gedola, a bona fide Chiyuv of Truma Gedola. You mean to tell me that if the Levi took his Maaser Rishon first, he doesn't have to take off both Trumas Maaser and Truma Gedola from that grain? So he says, no, I'm with you. Over there, he would have to take off both. I feel like Dima B'Kri Nami, Amalei Allah Hamakrai says no. On that, we have another pasuk. Mikol ma'asrosechem tarimu. So exactly what the pasuk, how the pasuk reads, a bit of a question. But in other words, there the drasha is, you got to take off every truma. You have to take off truma smaisa, and you have to take off truma gedola. Now, if you're following carefully, you realize that we really have competing drashas. One drasha is telling us that the Levi only has to take off trumas meiser. Another drasha is telling us he has to take off both trumas meiser and truma gedola. So umarisa. So the Gemara says, so now, with the competing drashas, how did you know where to plug each one in? So the Gemara says, hi idgan v'hai lo idgan. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how I knew. Because when the Levi went out to the field before the grain was collected and put into a pile and the pile was smoothed on, so at this point in time, lo idgan. Right, it's not in a pile, which means it's not chayv and trumas ma'isros as of yet. So when the Levi helps himself to the ma'isor rishon first, so under those circumstances, it makes more sense to say that we're going to have the limiting drasha, the one that tells us that he only has to take off trumas ma'isor and not truma gedola. But then once it's put into a pile and once there's a chiyuv of trumas ma'isros, so then I would say that that's the more expansive drasha that tells him he has to take off both the trumas ma'isor and the truma gedola. Meister Sheni Behikdash Sheniftu. The Gemara continues. Now, Meister Sheni and Hektish, that was redeemed. And again, we're going to ask the same question. That's not mostly kosher. That's 100% bona fide kosher. That's exactly what you're supposed to do with Meister Sheni. You're supposed to redeem it. So why is the Mishnah putting that in there? Is that it's a question mark? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why it's a question mark. Pshita, hachamai ma'iskin, kigun shenasan asakarim, volonasan asakhamesh, v'akamash malan de'in chamesh ma'akev. Because over there, we're talking about a scenario where he did redeem it, but not with the surcharge. When you redeem your own produce, so you must pay principal plus another 25% surcharge. That's called chomesh, right? How chomesh becomes 25%? You can ask me later. But anyway, so fine. So he redeemed principal, but not he didn't pay the surcharge. Now you understand. That's a question mark. So is that considered redeemed? That's the chiddush of our Mishnah. It is considered redeemed, and therefore it does in fact. It is in fact considered a kosher food. Hashamash achel kazayis, hashamash who eats a kazayis. Pshita ma'u detem hashamash lo kava, kamash malan. So I might have thought that the shamash, he's in and out of the room all the time. He's running back and forth between the kitchen and the table, back to the kitchen, back to the table. And so therefore for him there's no kvias. And as we've learned time and again, in order for brachas, in order for there to be starfus, for combining, so there has to be a kvias. We talked about this at the end of the sixth parak of brachos. And here we're saying it again. And so now one could construct a very good havamina that he's not koveya. He's not sitting with them. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is, yeah, but because he's needed for zimun, so therefore halachically he's viewed as a kvias. Hakusi mezamin alav, what about our kusi? So you can make a zimun with the kusi. Now, the kusi, we've gone over the history numerous times. I'm not going to go over it right now. But right now the Mishnah is assuming the kusi is a bona fide ger. And so therefore you can make a zimun with him. Now, he's a bona fide ger, but he's also a bona fide amaretz. And now, again, it's not me talking. You'll see. It's the Gemara asking. And so, what the Gemara wants to know is, you can make a zimun with an amaretz. And let's see the Gemara together. So, amai lo yehe ala amaretz ve'atanya. So, the Gemara says, as far as the kusi and his conversion status, let's say the conversion is a good conversion. Fine. But he is unlearned, and he has the status of an amaretz. And the Gemara says, Eim azamin ala amaretz. The Braisa says very clearly that you cannot make a zimun with an amaretz. We'll talk more about this in detail. Right now, the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time defining an amaretz. Abai Amar Bekusi Chaver. So Abai's answer is very simple. This kusi over here happened to have gone to yeshiva. He got an education. He knows. He's knowledgeable. He's not an amaretz. Rav Amar Filotema Bekusi Amaretz. V'acha ba'amaretz. Rabbanan depli gala derab meir askinan. So the Gemara says, Rav gives a different answer. No, he doesn't have to be any kind of unique kusi. Standard kusi. But where's the variability in terms of the definition of an amaretz? And so therefore, we can play around, I don't really mean that literally, but in other words, there is room to maneuver within the definition of an amaretz, and so therefore, if we go with a more lenient definition, so the kusi is not an amaretz. So the Gemara says, D'tanya, and here we have a braisa, Ezu amaretz, kol she'enu ochel chula b'tahara divra Rav Meir. So Rav Meir says that if you eat your chulin and you do so not in a state of tahara, you're an amaretz. You have to eat even your chulin in a state of tahara. Okay, that's a really high threshold. And so therefore, nowadays nobody eats their chulin but tahara, but in other words, back then, some did, some didn't, it's a high threshold. The Chachamim Omrim Kol She'inu Meiser Perasav Karaoi. And the Chachamim say, if you don't take off Trumas HaMaisers, you're an Amaretz. If you do take off Trumas HaMaisers, then you're not an Amaretz. So very good. So Vahani Kusai Asur Masre. And we know the Kusim take off Trumas HaMaisers, Kedachazid Debamai Techsev Daraisa Mizir Ziri. So the it's written in the Torah, and they're careful about it. The Amar Markal Mitzvah Sheikh Zikuba Kusim Harbe Medaktikim Bal Yoser Misral. Look, the Kusim, they may not keep everything, but the Mitzvahs they do keep, they're really careful about it. So they care, albeit in a limited basis, but they really do care. And Trumas HaMaisers, they take off. And so therefore, according to the Chachamim, they do not qualify as an Am HaAretz, so therefore the question never gets off the ground, according to the Chachamim. And as long as we talk about now about the definition of an Am HaAretz, the Gemara quotes another by Satan Rabbanon, Ezu Am HaAretz Kol She'en Akori Kriyash Ma'arviz V'Shachris, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So we're going to have multiple opinions in this Brisa. What is the threshold of being an Am HaAretz? If you don't say Shachris both evening and morning, qualifies an Am HaAretz. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Kol She'eino Meniach Tefillin. If you don't put on Tefillin, presumably daily, is what the point that he's making, you're an Am HaAretz. Benazai Amar Kol She'eino Tzitzis Bibigdo, you're not wearing tzitzis. Rabbi Nelson Amar Kol She'eino Mezuzah Apischo, you don't have a mezuzah on your house. Rabbi Nelson Bar Yosef Amar Kol She'eish Lobanim Be'eino Megadol Matam HaTorah. You have children, but you're not teaching them Torah. Acher Momim Afilu Kar V'Shana V'Loshim Ish Tamid HaChacham Ha'Arizah Am HaAretz. And then this Bryce ends off with the opinion of the Acherim, which takes a really high threshold, and that is that you could be knowledgeable. You could know Mishnayos, but you had no Shemesh. You did not serve Tamid HaChachamim. You didn't work directly under a Tamid HaChacham and learn directly from under a Tamid HaChacham. Am Rav Huna Halacha Ka'Acherim. Rav Huna says that, in fact, is the Halacha. I direct your attention immediately to Tosfos, where Tosfos writes, that's not our minug. That's not our practice. Meaning, imagine right now that the threshold of an Am HaAretz is that somebody who is even knowledgeable, but he didn't attend yeshiva, he doesn't have a rebbe. So Tosfos says we don't practice that. And Tosfos writes, and I'm reading Tosfos inside. The ha'idna in anu medaktikin urigilim anu lizman urigilim anu lizamein be'ame ha'aretz kedamrin bechagiga. So Tosfos says, I'm telling you our practice. Our practice is that if the person is an Am HaAretz, we incorporate it, we include him in a zimun. Now, he does have the Gemara in Chagiga. It is, to say the least, interesting that the Gemara has a really clear conclusion, and Tosfos says, and we have a really clear minug that doesn't go with the Gemara's conclusion. He quotes the Gemara in Chagiga. Now, everyone intuitively understands what is that play over here, right? The more selective we are, so the more exclusive we are, and what's going to end up happening is that we're going to turn people off. And this is not a modern phenomenon. Tosfos writes it. He says, "Kaman mekablin ha'ina sadusa me'am ha'aretz kaman k'rav Yosi k'deish lo yehe kol echad holechu bone bama la'atzmo." What happens is that if we become the selective group of people who basically now label and identify you're not ma'aretz, and therefore you cannot participate, not in the Gemara Chagiga was talking about edus. Our Gemara over here is talking about zimun, and we exclude them from these activities. So what's going to happen is they're going to be bone bama la'atzmo. They're going to make their own religions. They're going to go off and make their own religions. So the more exclusive we are and the more selective we are, so the more divisive we become. And so Tosfos says that's a consideration. And I know the Gemara over here concluded very clearly that the halacha is like the Acherim, but Tosfos says, but that's not our minhag. Yes. Presumably the answer is yes. Yeah. I may not be right. Okay, let's go there. Okay, Rami Bar Chama lo azman ala de Rabbi Menashe bar Techlifa. We're back in the Gemara, and the Gemara tells a story. Okay, it's a great daf today. So Rami Bar Chama lo azman ala de Rabbi Menashe bar Techlifa. So Rami Bar Chama refused to make a zimun together with Rabbi Menashe bar Techlifa. Now, unless the Gemara is just being nice, he has a title in front of his name, and he still doesn't qualify to be part of the zimun. Because although he is knowledgeable, so he knows Torah Shabbat Chassav, and he even knows Torah Shabbat Peh. He knows Sifra, he knows Sifrei. But still, he wasn't Mishamish Talmid HaChachamim. So therefore, and we do follow like the Acherim. And therefore, he's not to be included in the Zeman. Okay. Ki nach nafshe de Rami Bar Chama, amar Rava lo nach nafshe de Rami Bar Chama, ela de lo azmen av Rabbi Menashe bar Techlifa. Now, when Rami Bar Chama died, so Rava reports to us, I know why he died. Because he didn't allow Rav Menashe to be part of the Zimun. Okay. Now, Now the Gemara says, now for a moment, let's defend Rami Bar Chama, which is that he's just following what we learned together. Meaning we learned together that even if you're knowledgeable, but you're not Mishamash Tabani Chachamim, you qualify as an Amaretz, and therefore you're not included in a Zimun. It sounds like what he did was right. It's rude, but right. So the Gemara says, Shani Rav Menashe, Bar Techlifa, Demash Malay L'Rabbanan, Rami Bar Chama Hu Delo Dak Abasrei. So the Gemara gives one of two suggestions. One is that Rami Bar Chama didn't do his research. Meaning that the truth of the matter is that Rav Menashe was in fact Mishamash Talmid Chachamim, and Rami Bar Chama didn't do his due diligence. That's one possibility. Lishna Achrina Deshamash Maita Mipumai Derabbanan Vegaris Lehu, Kitzur Bar Merabbanan Dami. Or another possibility is that he heard it from the Chachamim, and he's repeating over what he heard from the Chachamim, and that is considered Surba Me'rabbanan Tamil Chacham, and that does qualify as Shimush Tamil Chachamim. Now it's not clear over here, the Gemara could very well be debating what is the definition of being Mishamish Tamil Chachamim. Generally speaking, we assume it to mean not just hearing it from a Rebbe, but it's what you and I call Gemara, meaning it's the analysis of the Mishnayos, and understanding what's behind the Mishnayos. So that's generally speaking how we describe it. Okay. Now we're on the other side of the Mishnah. The other side of the Mishnah is when you're eating food that is clearly not kosher, you can't combine for the Zeman. So we start off with Tevel. Produce which is untithed. That's obvious. And the Gemara says, Tevel Pshita. So the Gemara says, well, it's only Tevel Midrabbanan. How so? It didn't derive a direct nourishment from the ground. In order for produce to be chayv and shumas and maestros, it has to grow from the ground of Eretz Yisrael. So over here, it was in a pot that didn't have holes on the bottom, and so therefore it's unique. It didn't come from Eretz Yisrael. So midah araisa, it's not chayv and shumas and maestros, midah rabbanan it is. And still, although it's only aser midah rabbanan, that is considered not kosher, and you cannot combine towards eight zimun. Maestro rishon pshita lo tzricha kagon sheik dima b'kri. So the Gemara says now, non-kosher, when as it relates to Maaser Rishon, Trumas and Maasers were not taken off. Or I should say better, Trumas Maaser was not taken off. To which the Gemara says, isn't that obvious? So the Gemara says, well, we're talking about where the Levi took first. Where did he take from? From the smoothed off pile, which as we already discussed earlier this morning, means that there is a Chiyuv of taking off both Trumas Maaser and Trumas Gedola. And the Gemara just simply references the discussion we had earlier this morning between Rav Papa and Abaye. There's a Havamina to have argued it. The Gemara says, but that's a Havamina. The Maskan is like we said, that if the Levi takes off from the Dagan, from the smoothed out pile, he's got to take off both. Trumas Meiser and Trumas Gedola. And if he doesn't take off both, it's not kosher. Meiser Sheni Pshita Lo Tzricha She Niftu Velo Niftu Kehilchasan. So now, Meiser Sheni in Hektesh, where you didn't redeem it. Again, it's obvious. Why do I need the Mishnah? And the Gemara says, I'll tell you why I need the Mishnah. Meiser Sheni Kigon Shepado Gabe Simon. So it's Meiser Sheni where we redeemed it, but not with a minted coin, but a slug. V'rachmana Amar V'sarta Kesev Yadecha. Kesev Sheish Lav Tzura. The halach is that when you redeem it, it has to be with a minted coin. Hektesh Echilu Agabe Karkav L'Apado B'Kesev. V'rachmana Amar V'nasna Kesev Kamlo. Or Hektish, for example, where I redeemed it, but I redeemed it against property. And that's a no-no. When you're redeeming Hektish, it has to be redeemed against movables, metaltlin. The Pasuk says, V'nasana kesef v'kamlo. Again, a question of what the Pasuk actually says, but the point is that redeeming it against property is not a redemption, and therefore it doesn't work. And therefore it's not kosher. And therefore it cannot be added to the Zimun. The last line of the Mishnah where we're describing the Shamash who ate less than a Kezayis, it's obvious, because in the beginning of the Mishnah it says the Shamash who ate a Kezayis or more. The inference is clear. The Gemara says that's true, but the Mishnah also loves symmetry. And the symmetry of the Mishnah is there to provide a balance of the Mishnah. Remember, we're going to commit the Mishnahs to memory, and so therefore, when you're committing the Mishnahs to memory, so the parallel structure makes it much easier to commit to memory. Now, the non-Jew cannot be contributing to the Zimun. Again, it's an obvious point. Why does the Mishnah need to say it? He's in process, says the Gemara. Let's say he had the Mila, but he hasn't yet toveled in the Mikvah. Amar Rebbe Zera, Amar Rebbe Yochanan, La'olam Eino Ger, Achimol, V'yitbol, V'kamadol Tavol, Nachrihu. So even though he's in process, and he went through, quite frankly, the harder portion of the Geirus. He went through the Mila. But still, that's not, he's not done yet. And so therefore, he is not considered a full-fledged ger until he does both Mila and Tvila. Now, in our gear, so we have Yossi, probably is Rav Asi. It fits in a little bit better in terms of the historical structure of the Gemara. Here we go. We'll start the sugya today. There's much to talk about the sugya. We'll do the bulk of it tomorrow. But katan amuta barisa mezamne malav. So you have a baby in a crib, and so therefore he can be mitzar for the zimun. That's obviously tremendous chiddush. V'ha'atana nashim v'avadim v'katanim im mezamne malayim. So let's start off with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you cannot be mitzar with a katan. Like, how could it be? How could the Mishnah not be any clearer? Like, what's going on? So who damer kerav Yishua ben Levi? Damer Yishua ben Levi afa pisha amru katan amutal barisa ein mezamne malav aval osin osos nifla sara. So the Gemara says, okay, so for purpose of clarification, you're right. Of course the Mishnah says he can't combine for a zimun. Right? And we can't argue with the Mishnah. What I mean is as the tenth man. So as the tenth man. Now, mind you, by the way, we're not talking about minyan. We're talking about zimun. Now, that point is I'm going to clarify that tomorrow morning at the beginning of Shir tomorrow morning. But that seems to be that we're talking right now just about zimun. So when saying Zimun, so as we learned already, when you have 10 there, so now you have the chance of saying Shem Hashem Elokeinu, so on that, a baby can now be included and be part of the 10th. I'm Rav Yishuv Levi Tisha Ve'Eved Mistarfin. If let's say you have 9 and an Eved Kanani, so he can combine. Meisav the Gemara says, are you right about that? Meisav Rebbe Lazar Shenichnas Abeis HaKnesset V'lo Matza Asara V'Shich Ravda V'Shlim Ala Asara. So the Gemara tells a story, I'd say one of the most famous stories of Shas, and that is Rabbi Eliezer goes into shul. There weren't 10 people over there. He had his Eved Kanani with him. He says to his Eved Kanani, today is your lucky day. You will be now today a free man because I need a minion. And so for my necessity of a minion, I'm going to free you. But the emancipation of an Eved Kanani now results in him becoming a full-fledged Jew. There's only one direction for the Eved Kanani to go once he's freed, and that's up in Kedusha. And therefore now he's going to be a full-fledged Jew, and now we're going to have a minion. So shichrin lo shichr lo. Now the clear implication is that 9 plus the Eved Kanani didn't work, and it's only because he freed him that he had a minion. So the Gemara says, huh? Ah, very good. Okay, good. So David pointed out, which I was going to point out in the beginning tomorrow morning, that the Gemara seamlessly transitioned, although David picked up on it, and I'll pick up on it tomorrow, seamlessly transitioned from Zimun to Minyan. Okay, good, good. It's a great observation. I'm going to come back to that tomorrow. So shichri in lo shichri lo. So now the diuk is very simple. Only because he freed him does it work. So the Gemara says, trade through shichri chav nafik bechad. So the Gemara says, okay, here's what happened. Right? More details to the story. There were only 8 at the minyan, and he had 2 Eved Kananis with him. So what did he do? He freed one of the 2 Eved Kananis. So it's really his lucky day because, number one, right time, and number two, right, he drew the longer straw. So he got freed, and the other Eved Kanani can now be mitzarif. Over tavodu. So the Gemara says, well, you're not allowed to free your Eved Kanani. So the pasuk says it's a mitzvah asay that they have to be working for you indefinitely. So the Gemara says dvar mitzvah shani. So the Gemara says, okay, but this is for a good reason. It's a dvar mitzvah. Mitzvah baba averihi. So the Gemara says, okay, it's a good mitzvah, but you're not allowed to free him. It's a mitzvah baba avera. So mitzvah derabim shani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but this is a public mitzvah. Now, there are so many principles that play over here in the Gemara in terms of we have obviously competing values over here and which one is going to win out. And the Gemara's conclusion is that mitzvah derabim is going to trump the concept of mitzvah baba avera. Wow, there's so much to think about and really so little time. Right. There's so much to think about. Tosfos has one application of this principle in which he generated from our Gemara over here. You can see in the second Tosfos. I'm just going to read on a little bit more. I'm Rav Yishua Ben Levi Lolem Yashkim Adam LeBeis HaKnesses Kedei Shiyizke V'Yimne Im Asara Rishonim. Rav Yishua Ben Levi says, look, try to be early at Shul. Be one of the first 10 in the morning. If you do so, Shafilo Mea by Macharav Kibal Alav Schar Kulam. You can have 100 people coming afterwards. You're going to get all their schar. Now the Gemara says, right, the Gemara's reaction to that is, wow, that what? So schar kulam, sakadacha ela ema kinosim lo schar kineged kulam. You're not taking schar away, but the schar that you're going to be receiving is going to be equivalent to the schar that everyone else there is going to be receiving. Amar Avuna Tisha V'Aron Mitzarfin. Let's say you have nine in the room, and you have an Aron Kodesh. Oh, so that Aron Kodesh now can be included as part of the minyan. So Amar Rav Nachman V'Aron V'Aron. Wait, one second. Amar Rav Nachman V'Aron Gavrahu. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. The Aron is not a person. You're not counting him towards the minyan, right? So Ella Amar Rav Huna Tisha Niron Kasar Mitzarfin. You misunderstood. That's not what he meant. He meant that nine people configured a certain way, which gives the appearance of ten. So A, we're almost there, and B, we've configured them in such a way, so that could work. So Amri La Ki Mechanfei V'Amri La Ki Mevadre. Now, what exactly is the configuration? All right, so here we're going to have a debate. Some say that they're huddled together tight. Some say that they're spread out over the room. So the configuration is not clear. But if you have the right configuration, so nine can count towards a minion. You can already guess the Gemara's conclusion about many of these suggestions. Okay, well, that's coming up in just a little bit. Amar Rabbi Ami Shnayim v'Shabbos Mitzarfin. So let's say you have two people eating on Shabbos. So what do you have? You have a Zimun. How do you have a Zimun? So it's two plus Shabbos. Okay, so that equals three. I know, it's funny math, but the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman v'Shabbos Gavrahu. So again, Shabbos is a person. So Ala Amar Rabbi Ami Shnei Tamid Chacham Emechadim Zeim Zeh Et Zeh Ba'alacha Mitzarfin. So you have two Tamid Chacham and really sharpen each other in Halacha, so they can make a Zimun. So Machri Rav Chista could go in Anav Rav Sheshes. Rav Chista says, let me demonstrate. It's like me and Rav Sheshes. Machri Rav Sheshes could go in Anav Rav Chista. Rav Sheshes reciprocates. It's like me and Rav Chista. Okay. Am Rav Yochanan Katan Porech Mezamnen Alav. And Rav Yochanan says that you have a katan who is Porech. What does that mean? Rashi writes, last Rashi on the Amun, She'evi Simanim V'lo Ba'ach Shanav. So he is physically mature, but he developed a little bit earlier than others. He's not yet 13 years of age. So you can make a Zimun together with him. Now, Tanya Namihachi, Katan Shehevi Shtei Saras, Mizamnam Alav. And the Brisa says the same thing. That if you have the Katan which has Shtei Saros, so you can make a Zimun with him. Vishalohevi Shtei Saras, Eim Mizamnam Alav. But if you don't bring Shtei Saras, then you can make a Zimun with him. And then the Brisa confounds us. The Brisa says, you don't have to be careful about the katan, meaning there's no need to really make any kind of examination. The Gemara says, you know, I'm totally confused. Hagu fakasha. Amar dehevi shtei saros din lo hevi lo. So the first half of the Braisa says that this katan nish shtei saros, in other words, so he's almost there, but he nish shtei saros. And then the Braisa confuses us by saying, in medakta bekatan. So, and then the Braisa says, oh, you don't have to be medaktik. So lasui amai. So the Gemara says, lav lasui katan parech. So the Gemara says, presumably, what it's coming to do is include the katan parech, meaning that where the diktuk is not necessary, is that to see whether or not he's actually, in fact, developed. Rashi writes on the top of the amud, lasui katan parech she'im adakting nimbo, im balachlal shanim olav, umahin shanim yud gimel shanim v'yom echad, meaning that at the point in time where he has, in fact, developed physical maturation, despite the fact that he's not yet of age. So that's what the Braisa must be referring to at the end when it says, Ein Medaktikin. And that would be then a proof for Rav Yochanan. Okay. You could see what the next words of the Gemara are. I'm going to stop over here. Let's just make this very clear. We're in the middle of a discussion. Even though we finished the daf, we're in the middle of a discussion. And in terms of the halacha, many of the things that we just suggested within the last 10 minutes of the daf are going to be absolutely rejected. Now, how much of it is going to be rejected? That is where we're going to start off tomorrow morning with that very important question. Let's quickly recap. Today we talked about respect that a person has to have while traveling, cutting off your Rebbe while driving. First topic of discussion today. The Botzea has to eat first. Tosus compares our Gemara to the Gemara in Pesachim, and Tosus quotes a number of suggestions in terms of how to distinguish between our Gemara and the Gemara in Pesachim. Manners in terms of the communal bowl. We talked about the halachas of amen, how the amen needs to be articulated correctly. The bracha is not finished until the amen is said. So a number of fascinating halachas as it relates to the amen. Then we went through all the agricultural halacha, the Mishnah's listing of things that are on the border of being kosher and things that are absolutely not kosher. And then the Gemara did a wonderful job giving us the nuance of why are things listed in category number one? Why are things listed in category number two? Where's the subtlety of the Mishnah? And the Gemara finds the subtlety in the Mishnah in all the cases. And then the end of today's daf, we went through together that which can be included towards a Zimun, and that who can be concluded towards a Zimun Asara, and that could be included to a minyan. And the Gemara had a number of suggestions, and the Gemara in the beginning of Tamar's Daf is going to tell us where the halacha stands.